Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do I have any kids who want to come forward? Oh, good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Do any of you have chickens? No chickens? Do any of you have chickens?
Used to.
All right, because we have a really interesting description of Jesus in our gospel lesson. He refers to himself as a mother hen. Is that an image you usually have of Jesus?
No.
How about the rest of you? Do you usually think of Jesus as a mother hen?
No.
I see one head nodding.
I had chickens for a long time, so I know all about it.
Oh, okay. Why don't you tell us about chickens? Why would Jesus refer to himself as a mother hen?
Because when they sense danger, they gather everybody underneath their wings.
Mm-hmm. They cluck at their little ones. I used to keep chickens too. So they, if they see danger, if there's a hawk or a fox or a dog or something, they'll cluck at their chickens, and the chicks will come running. And it's really funny when the chicks get big because they can't all fit. She does her best. She's like this, you know, over all the chickens. It's like me trying to protect all of you. You know, she's doing this, trying to protect all of them. And so she will protect them to the death. Because she's just a chicken. What can she do against a fox or a coyote or anything like that? What can she really do? She can peck at them, she can scratch at them, but ultimately it's gonna be kind of bad. Right? It doesn't always end well. Sometimes it does. Sometimes she's able to drive them off. If there's a rooster around, it helps because they get really nasty. But Jesus calls himself a mother hen, trying to gather the brood underneath his wings to protect them. And they don't want to listen to him. When a hen calls her chicks, do they listen? Most of the time, if they don't, what happens to them?
They get eaten.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. If there's say, a dog that got into the yard, and the mother hen is gathering her chicks together like this, she's got them under her wings, and there's one little chick that goes, forget you. Yeah, there's something over here. What is that animal going to do? Is it going to be here with the mother hen who's going, or is it going to go after that one chick?
No.
That one chick is, yes. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is trying to gather the people underneath his wings like a mother hen would. And some of the chicks want to stray off. And he wants so much to protect them. We know that he protects us to the death. That he died on the cross to save us. And he's saying, "Why don't you come under my wings of protection?" And so Jesus is calling us even now to come under those wings when we feel troubled, when we feel distressed, when we feel that something is after us. He wants us to come under those wings and he will protect us to the death. And he will. So let us pray. Good. Oh, gracious God, we see in our gospel today the image of Jesus protecting like a mother hen protects her chicks and calling to us to come under his wings and protect us. And Lord, let us not be like foolish chicks who run off away from that protection. But when we hear the voice of our Lord, let us run to him for protection. Let us run to him for guidance. Ask this in the name of our Savior, who seeks to gather all of us under his hands. Amen. Thank you for coming forward.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we look at all of our readings and we try to find a common theme through them, what would you say the common theme is? Ben? Jesus loves us and would do anything for us. I think that's a good way of summing up the readings. These are readings about God's protection, God's love, God's unfailing love. And we know that God is faithful to God's promises. In our first reading, we have Abram who questions God because God has promised him children. And here he is, an old man, and his wife, an old woman, and he's thinking, I don't have the children that have been promised me, and so when I die, everything is going to go to one of my servants. I don't understand. I thought that I understood you, Lord. And so we're told that in a vision, the Lord comes to Abram and says, don't be afraid, that I am your shield, I'm your protection, your reward will be great. And Abram responds, but I'm childless. My heir is going to be one of my servants. And the word of the Lord comes, no one but your very own child will be your heir. And he goes outside, and the Lord says to Abram, look up at the sky. And imagine the clearest sky, no clouds, nothing to interfere, the sky just filled with stars. And Abram is told, look at those stars, and even if you could count them, which you can't, your descendants will be more numerous than that. And Abram is undoubtedly puzzled, but he believes the Lord. We're told he believes, and the Lord reckons it to him as righteousness. And by righteousness, we mean this relationship where Abram is expressing faithful loyalty to God. Even though he's not seeing the promise at the moment, he believes that God will be faithful to him. And then the Lord says, I'm going to give you this land to possess. And Abram says, how do I know that? And God makes a covenant with Abram and says, I'm giving you this land. You don't have it yet, but I'm giving you this land. And Abram believes. And what happens? Does God keep God's promise? Yes. God keeps God's promise. And if we were to try to count the descendants of Abram, who later became Abraham, it would be very difficult to count them all. And the land was given just as God promised. But it was done in God's own timing. And then we look at our psalm, which is an incredibly beautiful psalm. We don't really spend a lot of time talking about the psalms, but the book of Psalms is my favorite book of the Bible. I think I've said that before. It's my favorite book. And it's the one I send people to all the time when they wonder if they should be questioning God. Well, we see throughout the Bible people questioning God. We saw Abram questioning God. In the Psalms, we really see all the emotions come out of questioning, of despair, of joy. Everything, every human emotion comes out in the Psalms. And Psalm 27, our appointed Psalm of the day, is a song of confidence in God. And we're told it is one of the Psalms of David, where David begins by expressing such confidence in God. And throughout, he expresses his desire for God. He talks about the trouble that he's in. And he talks about the confidence that he has that God will protect him. And so it begins, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then should I fear? And the answer is, no one. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? And the answer is, no one. When evildoers close in against me to devour my flesh, they, my foes and my enemies, will stumble and fall. Now, David knows a lot about this. David encounters enemies throughout his life. And perhaps when he is writing this particular psalm, he remembers one of those early enemies. Remember this big guy that he confronts? What's his name?
Goliath.
Goliath. I knew that you knew that. And when he confronts Goliath, you know what Goliath says to him? He says, come to me, and I'll give your flesh over to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. He's saying, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to rip you to pieces, and the animals can eat you. And did that happen? No, of course not. God was with David, and David slew Goliath. It helped that he had had a lot of practice taking care of enemies of the sheep, right? So that he knew how to handle a slingshot. And he was able to take down a foe that terrified everyone else. So Goliath indeed did stumble and fall, and other enemies of David stumbled and fell. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. The idea that his trust would not be shaken, regardless of what enemies surrounded him, because he had in the past relied on God for protection. And he calls on God to remember the times when he's protected him in the past. And he is confident that God will protect him now and in the future. And then the psalm changes a little bit. One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek God in the temple. We don't usually think about the beauty of the Lord, do we? The beauty of the Lord. We think of the beauty of creation, but do we think about the beauty of the Lord? The grandeur, the splendor, the elegance, the radiance of our God who created all things. And David is a king with massive wealth. And he says he wants to dwell in the place where the Lord dwells, which at this time is what? It is a tent. It is a tent. This king wants to leave his palace and live in a tent, which is where the Lord is. Because the first temple, made of more solid structure, does not come about until David's son, Solomon, builds it. So he wants to leave his palace and go live in a tent to be close to his God. And he desires nothing more than to be in the presence of God. This reminds me a lot of a movie that I've watched several times over with Barbara Streisand called Yentl. Have you ever seen that one? Where she pretends to be a man so that she can study Torah. Because that's what she longs to do. That's where her heart is to study the words of God, and she can't do it as a woman. So she pretends to be a man with all the challenges that that entails. Because the desire of her heart is so much on studying everything that there is to know about our God. And so why? Why does he want to be in the temple, which is a tent? For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. This language about hiding and concealing under the cover of his tent, what does that remind you of? The chicken! Exactly! That's exactly what it should remind us of. That God is going to protect David and is going to protect us. Whether it's under the shelter of his wings, and we hear that in another psalm, or in his tent, in his dwelling place, that God wants to offer protection. And Jesus is undoubtedly thinking about this as he calls himself the mother hen, wanting to protect his people. So here he's sure that when he's surrounded by enemies, when he needs protection, God is going to hide him, God is going to conceal him, and then God is going to set him high in a place where he is going to be protected from his enemies. And he says, even now my head is lifted up above my enemies who surround me. Why would his head not be lifted up? What makes your head drop down? Fear and shame and guilt are the things that make our head drop down. He's saying, now my head is lifted up above my enemies who surround me. And therefore, now that he is protected, now that he has no need to fear, now that he has no need to feel shame or guilt or anything else because he's under the protection of our God, therefore I will offer sacrifice in the sanctuary, sacrifices of rejoicing. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Because what else do you do when God has done great things for you but sing out to our God? And then he says, hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. So the tone has changed yet again. So far it sounded really full of confidence, but now he's saying, hear my voice when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. So something has changed here. And this is very much what happens in our day-to-day life, isn't it? Where everything looks good, we're full of confidence, life is going well, and then there is a turn of events and we start to question once again. Is God really on my side? Is God really going to protect me? Why is it I call out to God and I don't hear anything? Isn't that how we feel sometimes? Why is it we call out to you, oh God, and we don't hear anything? We heard all of those words of confidence, and now he turns because something has changed. He says, my heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. And he pleads with God, hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not out. And he reminds God of what has happened in the past. You have been my helper. You've helped me in the past. I rely upon you to help me now. Forsake me not, O God, of my salvation. Even though I don't hear your voice now, even though I don't feel protected right now, you have been my refuge. You have been my protection. You have been my stronghold. And so I have confidence that you still are, even when I don't feel it. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. A reminder, as we've heard in other readings fairly recently, that we cannot rely upon the things and the people of this world because they will fail us. They may disappoint us. And when they do, God is still there, ever faithful. So though my father and my mother forsake me, which should never happen, even if they fail me, David says, the Lord will take me in. And then it changes again. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my oppressors. And by a level path, what he means is a path where I can stand strong, where I'm not tilted any direction, but I'm firmly planted. So put me in a place where I'm firmly planted. Subject me not to the will of my foes, for they rise up against me, false witnesses breathing violence. So here we're back to him being afflicted, oppressed, begging for God to remember how God has been his strength and his stronghold in the past, urging God to be there doing the same work today. And he says, this I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he ends with these words of encouragement. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. What words of faith and encouragement. That the Lord has done great things for us in the past. The Lord will do great things, great works of protection for us in the present. We can rely upon our God to do great works of protection in the future, but we must wait for the Lord. And waiting is not just sitting passively. It is being actively engaged. How many of you have worked in restaurants? So what does it mean to be a waiter? Does it mean just to stand around? What do? You serve. Exactly. So that's what it means here. Not just sit around and wait for something to happen. It means wait in that active sense to serve the Lord. And how do we serve the Lord? By serving others. So do something actively to show that you are confident that God is your protector. So when everything in your life is chaotic, when things in the world are chaotic as they so frequently are, upon whom can we rely? Can we rely upon ourselves or our friends or our families? To a certain extent, we can rely upon our own resources. But where ultimately is our strength and our protection? It is our God. And so, looking at our hymn of the day, I want Jesus to walk with me. My thought was, when I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. Walk with me as you have done in the past. Walk with me as I know you are doing in the present, even if and when I don't feel you, I know you are there. You are my strength. You are my stronghold. You are my rock. Upon you, my faith rests. So when I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me when you are troubled. Lord, walk with each one of us. So let us join together in our hymn of the day. I want Jesus to walk with me.